Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. Excuse me. let's try this again. Welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Tonight is Monday, January 30th, 2023, and it is open mic night. We can talk about pretty much whatever you want. I've put a list of things out there for us to discuss, and that's only a partial list. As you know, there's many things going on. But before we do that, let's say the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I hope that you say it from time to time. They're trying to take it out of schools. They have taken it out of some schools. We need to remember what it's all about. So please, if you get a chance, say the pledge. Okay, and as I'm saying, tonight is open mic night, so we can pretty much talk about whatever anyone wants to. The only thing I want to mention is, which I have it on the show page, next week the plan is to discuss the Battle of Athens, which was about election fraud. Seems extremely relevant. This was in 1947. And I put a couple links out there if you're not familiar with it. I don't see Sarge out there yet, but I'm expecting Sarge to be on, and he knows it very well, too. So it's a history lesson that seems extremely relevant to what is going on today. While the technology of election fraud has changed today, election fraud has been a problem in the past, and it was the people, the ballot box, mostly veterans, as I recall. So anyway, keep that in mind for next week. And now for tonight, like I said, I've got a list of things we can talk about. You call in 347-857-4364. That's 347-857-4364. If you want to speak on the air, make sure you press 1, and then we'll go to you, and you can, again, talk about pretty much whatever you want to. But I'm going to kind of go down the list here, and I've got other things that aren't on the list. Just, again, you can talk about pretty much whatever you want. The Patriot Act, you can talk about digital currency, ESG, the boycotting, which I found interesting today. It was Steve Bannon, actually he said it a couple times lately, after what happened with the RNC, he said, hold back the money. Well, hold back the money is the same thing as boycotting, really. It's kind of what it all means. Excuse me. And talk about Marxism. We can talk about communism, socialism. You know, again, it's open mic night. Talk about whatever, what's ever on your mind. Now, I'll just kind of go down the list until somebody chimes in on what they would like to discuss. And we've all been hearing about classified documents. And, I mean, there's so many ways to look at this. There's this has got to be a political game. Can anybody think what's all of a sudden happening about classified documents is not some type of political game? I mean, and let's go back one step before that. It's like, okay, what is a classified document? What is the security that they're supposed to have protecting these things? How are people walking out with them the way they seem to be so easily? Now they're going to go back and ask all the presidents and the senator. And does anybody have any classified documents at home that you're not supposed to have? Is that what they're going to do? It's like, oh, enemies, do you know this? Hey, CCP, are you familiar with anybody who can get our classified documents? How many of them do you need? I mean, it's insane. It's insane if it's really as messed up as what they're making it sound. And, of course, when it comes to Biden, I mean, there's no comparison between Biden and Trump. I mean, stop drinking the political anti-American Kool-Aid that they keep serving. And, of course, now, I mean, I wasn't over it. Trump's place, so I can't confirm that it was all in a locked closet and all that kind of stuff, but no one seems to be denying that. It does seem to be that it was secured, and it also seems to be that he had the right to declassify things, so That was the position of the former, well, I still call him President Trump. I don't know about you. Still President Trump. But then you go to the Biden situation. Papers are showing up everywhere. Papers are in a garage next to a Corvette. I don't know that Corvettes are exactly called security devices, but, you know, the Corvette's keeping an eye on them. And then, of course, the Biden pen or Penn Biden Center, whatever that thing was, and just happens to be sponsored by the CCP. And, you know, then we have all those other things going on between Ukraine and the Biden family and their nice, cozy relationship with the Chinese and the Ukraine and whatever else, all the business transactions going on. So, and this has happened, these papers, all classified papers, have been improperly stored, starting with Senator Biden, then Vice President Biden, and Lord only knows what's happening to any of them now, as President Biden is out there. So it's a game right now. There's got to be some kind of game they're playing here, trying to either, you know, at one point they were trying to take down Trump. Now they're trying to take down Biden. Now they're trying to minimize it, marginalize it, make it. It's insane. And more importantly is we really should be very scared if they are truly this reckless without classified documentation. If it's classified, that's supposed to mean something, but it doesn't seem like it does. So anyway, I'm kind of tired of listening to it, and I want real answers as to who's in charge of the classified documents. If everybody's in charge of them, there is no such thing as a classified document. You know, it's only common sense. Okay, then the other, excuse me, Trump is back on the campaign trail. Now, he had two events out there on Saturday, New Hampshire and South Carolina. And right about the same time, if you remember, it was like 1 or 2 days before that was to happen, AT&T, DirecTV, decommissioned or dropped Newsmax. Newsmax covers a lot of the Trump events. They're not the only one. The other Right Side Broadcast News does too. And I believe Real America's Voices does. But Newsmax over Fox News. Newsmax covers them. Fox News doesn't. So I find it interesting that that happened just a couple of days before he was to start his campaign, the official kickoff of the campaign. So is that really a coincidence, or were they in fact trying to block the coverage of Trump's campaign? I kind of think it probably that they were trying to block him. The other reason why I think it's even more interesting is I was not home during the day Saturday, so I couldn't watch them, but I thought, I'll watch them on Rumble, or I'll watch them on Right Side Broadcast News. I'll watch a replay on Newsmax later or whatever. So I figured I'd watch them later. They weren't being replayed anywhere that I could find. I can probably find it online directly in the Internet. But when it came to watching it like I've watched them in the past, Right Side Broadcast News always covered them and always replayed them. And then you could go out to their page and go out there and play it on demand. That wasn't there. Newsmax typically replays it once or twice over the weekend. Couldn't find that either. And then I went out to Rumble, excuse me, and tried to find it. And I would find different things about the rally, but I never found the whole rally. I couldn't find a link to watch the whole thing. And I find that very interesting. To me, there's something else going on there, too. And so if anybody watches Right Side Broadcast News or Newsmax or the others, that Real America's Voices or Rumble, let me know if you were able to find it out there via the TV set, because I could not find it. I thought that was interesting. I guess if you were there to watch it live, you're okay, but then the replays of it didn't seem to happen. And I can only be suspicious of that being, you know, and the DirecTV thing, you know, all at the same time. Do you truly believe in coincidences, those kind of coincidences? And myself, I don't, those kind of things. And I do believe in conspiracies, as, yeah, some people might be ganging up on you. And if the conspiracy theory, it's not a theory if it's true, kind of thing. So anyway, let me know. And then the other is thinking about Trump being back there on the campaign trail. And I didn't get to see them, so I can't really speak to what he said. Obviously, he was talking about the border security and the energy and, you know, the typical things you would expect, and you see little clips of it. But I didn't find out what he said about COVID. I really want to know what his position is on COVID. Warp speed, whatever. Because there was a survey of like 1,200 people, and they went out there, they were saying, if Trump continues to support and promote the vaccine and warp speed and whatever else, will that make you lose support for him or, you know, whatever? 74% of the people don't want him saying that and don't believe in it. And if that's what he believes, he could lose support from these people. 74%. Well, and to me, it's all valid. He can't be going out there saying it's a wonderful thing. It's not. It's killed people. And the people that they claim it saved, there's a lot of debate on that one. How do they know? That there is truly no way to say that the vaccine saved anybody. You know, because you didn't die? I mean, come on. These were people who were alive before they caught it, or before they got the vaccine, and I think you're really going to look at how many people have died. I just don't see how he can support it. All he's got to do is either, one, not talk about it, or two, say, we need a full investigation of what was happening with this, with the gain-of-function research. And is Pfizer and Moderna still doing gain-of-function research? Because it's not illegal. It was defunded. It was defunded by Obama, refunded, started funding it again with Trump. Did he really know what he was funding there? I don't think so. And then it got defunded when the COVID thing happened. So what is the truth on this gain-of-function stuff? And if Trump had it to do all over again, what would he do differently? If he's back in office and they say this again, they come up with some emergency pandemic, what would he do differently? What would he do? He really has to speak to this, and he has to admit that maybe some things were not done correctly. If he can't admit that, if he can't admit he would not, there's nothing wrong with saying I would do things differently. I don't think people would condemn him for that at all. I believe the majority of Americans would appreciate that he's realized something else was happening here. This was truly an attack on us. It was a bioweapon that was used against not only the people of the United States of America, but the people all over this world. He did so many great things, but COVID was a big, big problem. Not only was it the problem with the vaccine and the healthcare situation, it was also the underlying reason for him losing the election. He also needs to say that. He needs to admit COVID allowed the total corruption of our election. He needs to admit that. Now, he was out there fighting the mail-in ballots and all that stuff, and he attempted to do things, and the courts were saying, well, you can't, nothing's happened yet. And then, of course, they didn't do anything afterwards. So he knew something, but there were apparently some constitutional options he had. And I'm not going to try to talk to those, but enough people have been telling me, and I need to go really read up on it so I can speak to it better. But there were things he could have done with the declaring of the emergency, or how it could have somehow put a hold on some aspects of the election. I don't know all the details. Somebody else would have to talk to it. But he could have done things differently on that election as well. So, and that's nothing to do with Jan 6. The Jan 6 stuff was truly another setup for the Republicans by the evilness, the evildoers, anti-American Democrats, whatever you want to call them, communists, whatever. And they made, when it came to Jan 6, the mistakes that were made there, excuse me, is that they should have really been letting people know do not go into the building no matter what they tell you. Don't fall for it. Beware, there will be enemies amongst us. That should have been done. And, you know, I wasn't the one planning the event. I didn't think to go out there and warn people ahead of time. But I remember a while back there was going to be another march on D.C., and Glenn Beck kept telling people, don't do it. She and a lot of people end up backing off and not going. And I believe he was concerned that something may be similar. He didn't say why. He just said, don't do it. Don't do it. It won't work or whatever. And so it really didn't turn out to develop to be anything. And I kind of think about him saying that and then with what this was happening here. And this truly was the insider, treasonous evildoers who wanted to entice these innocent people, unarmed protesters. They were protesters, not rioters. There is a difference. Expressing their dissatisfaction for a very corrupt election. The election's corrupt. And, you know, unless you're totally brain dead, totally clueless, you have to know that the 2020 election was a fraud. The numbers flipped right on the TV. How could Trump have 100,000 votes 1 minute and have 75,000 the next minute, whatever the number was? The number went down. He lost votes instead of gaining them. That's corruption. there's nothing else to it. And, of course, what we saw happen in 2022 only supports the corruption of the elections. And you better think about that, excuse me, when it comes to this 2024 election. We better start thinking about that right now, because if we were to have the 2024 election today, it wouldn't matter. We already know who's going to win, because those are the ones who are controlling that ballot box, just like they did in Arizona. They totally corrupted that election. There's no doubt. But do you have judges out there that actually hold up the law? We know we have federal judge nominees who don't know anything about the Constitution. We saw that this past week. Oh, what's Article 5? What's Article 2? Oh, I don't know. It doesn't come to mind. I don't know. Haven't thought about it lately. You're a federal judge and you don't have any clue about how you mend your own Constitution, huh? So that was a leap. I have that on the list here. I don't plan on spending much time on that one, but how pathetic it is that you have Supreme Court judges who don't know what a woman is, and then you've got these people who have no clue what the Constitution is. Pretty scary to me. But anyway, the whole point is the elections. We have major problems, and we better fix it, which kind of leads me into this next subject. Oh, gosh. Okay. I did not watch the RNC event where they elected the new chair, the re-elected the chair. I only know that before that, many of us, including myself, said no to Ronna Romney McDaniels. She's a Romney. Why would you, after what we've seen with the Romneys, and after what she has done for three election cycles, why would you trust her? And, I mean, the grassroots Republicans out there, the constitutionalists, said no. No, no, no. But they're the ones, they're not the ones, they don't go and vote in that election there. That's where you have the different Republicans from the different states, 168 people vote, and all this other stuff goes on. They're the ones that made the vote and voted her back in, apparently by 118 votes or something like that. Oh, no, it was 111. I remember 111, and all I could think of was an outhouse. 111. When I saw that, it's like she won by 111. Okay. But the point is the Republicans don't want her. And the Republican Party said, we don't care what you want. We are the establishment. We do what we want. We don't care what you want. That is what that was. And I'll tell you, after I saw that, and I mean, you listen to Steve Bannon and the others, and Bill Frederick, whichever, and people talking about this stuff and saying, this is going to, this is the wrong thing. Steve Bannon is saying, hold back the money. Do not donate to these people. The worst thing you can do is give them more money. He's basically saying boycott the RNC. And I think that's what has to be done. Boycott the RNC, the Republican National Committee. Boycott them. Take away their money. Now, I sent out something a while back saying I stopped giving money to the RNC a long time ago. And one person, they just really got upset with me for saying that. Well, if you're not supporting them, then don't complain, whatever. I left them because of what they were doing. And just for the record, anybody that doesn't know me, I was raised by two Massachusetts Democrats. I was a Democrat. My mother would have probably shot me if I hadn't registered as a Democrat to begin with. So I was a Democrat, born and raised. And then I left the Democrat Party. This was around the Reagan time. I just went to an independent, no party affiliate. And a few years later, I did go into the Republican Party. And I was a Republican for 2-3 years. I got involved with the, this was in Orange County, Florida, AUCREC, Orange County Republican Executive Committee. I was in there. And I ran for office in Orange County. And I saw what the Republican Party of Florida was. I saw it firsthand. I saw what was happening locally, and I saw it firsthand. And, okay, I see Nathan out there. I'll get to you in just a minute there, Nathan. But anyway, I saw what the Republican Party was about. And I saw how they totally corrupted an election with me. And, by the way, they did have Dominion machines, and people did report problems with who it was actually going to. They would push my name on it, and it would show up with the other person's name. It didn't really matter. I mean, it matters and it doesn't matter, for the record. I'm not a denier in that sense. I think God was probably watching out for me and said, you really don't want this job. So I think it turned out to be the best. So in some crazy way, it was good. But the fact is they played with the election laws and they corrupted the election. And I could go into that. I'm not going to go into all the details of that. But, I mean, this was back in 05. So the corruption's been out there a long time ago. It's always been there. Like I said, the Battle of Athens was back in 1947. So the thing is, we've got to clean this up. And it's not going to happen with the Republican National Committee. When they go and totally tell the people, the Republicans, stuff it, we don't care what you say. This is our party, not yours. We're going to do what we feel like. That is when we tell them what to do with their party. And definitely do not, I mean, if I'm going to donate, I donate to a candidate specifically that I like. I don't donate to the parties. I don't donate to political action committees. I donate to the individual candidate. And even then, most of the time I don't do a whole lot of money. I try to work with them and volunteer and help. That's what I try to do. So that's my take on it. But I can tell you, after what I saw happen on that RNC chairperson, I will be changing my party affiliation within the next month, before the end of February. Just depends on, I might go online and try to do it, or I might go into the office. I haven't decided yet. But I will be leaving the RNC. The only reason I was back in it for right now was because I wanted to vote in some of the local elections and and they have more stricter rules here in Jackson County than they did in Orange County. But that doesn't matter. I'm leaving it. And I really hope every Republican who took the time to say no to keeping the same person in there, the same ineffective person in there, say no, go out there and change, go become a no-party affiliate or become part of the Constitution Party. I'm hoping that maybe we can get some people together to take the Constitution Party and make it the America First Constitution Party or something like that. If that was to happen, I might get engaged in that, but for the most part, Washington was right. The political parties will be the death of us. They destroy us. So that would be the other thing to it. But the main thing is right now you have plenty of time. If you truly want to be a Republican before the election, go do that next year. You can go register back in the party if you really want to. But right now, if you want to send a very loud message to these Republicans, go change your party affiliation now. Do it as soon as possible. And make sure that you let them know. Let your local Republican Executive Committee know it. Let your governor know it. In my case, Governor DeSantis. I'm going to let him know. We're leaving because the RNC left us. You remember Reagan said that, I believe, about the Democrat Party? Because he was a Democrat for years. And Trump was a Democrat at one point, too. And don't stay with him. We have to send a very, very loud message to this RNC. And truthfully, admit the fact, and I'm sure Nathan's going to have something to say on this one. The fact is, they're not going to change. This is what they are. They are the establishment. I mean, you got McConnell still there. Come on. You got this lady still there. McCarthy, he's playing nice right now because he kind of has to. McCarthy has to play the game differently. But the other two don't, and they're not going to. Then the other sad thing I'm going to mention, then I'll get Nathan in here. The other, what I'm calling it sad, there were different reports of Trump supporting the reelection of this lady, of McDaniels. Did Trump, I mean, he was acting like he was staying out of it, but then there were stuff going through the rumor mill that maybe he wasn't so out of it, that he was encouraging people to support her, whatever, vote for. If Trump really did that, which, who knows, then he truly is his own worst enemy. Is he trying not to get reelected? I don't know. Trump is one of the most confusing people, I think. When it comes to Biden, Biden's a weirdo. He's a pervert. He's a pedophile. He's a pathological liar. He's a sociopath. I mean, the guy's, not to mention the dementia now, he's a weirdo. And you see this weird stuff. And you kind of, based on those kind of things, you know why Biden does the things he does. He's just a sicko. But Trump seems to genuinely love our country. He seems to care about us. He's done some really, really good things. But then he does stupid things like this. I don't get it. I really don't get it. And if he supported her after all the people said no? And then one more thing, last thing on with Trump. I don't know if anybody listening actually works closely with his campaign or his inner circle, whatever. But tell him not to be out there trashing DeSantis. It doesn't help him any. It makes him look petty. It makes him look like he has to somehow prove he's better. He's already done the job. He doesn't have to do that. He should be taking the high road and saying, DeSantis has done some good things in Florida. And I hope when I'm in the White House, I can depend on him to be an ally. I need strong governors. We have this thing called the 10th Amendment, and a lot of people don't know about. And because of the 10th Amendment, we need strong governors like DeSantis to help me when I'm in the White House. Instead of going out there trashing him. If anybody listening on this call has any connection, any way to get to Trump, would someone tell him, stop shooting yourself in the foot, stop cutting off your nose to spite your face, whatever it is. You're making yourself look silly, and you're only hurting your own credibility. You could turn other people around by doing just the opposite. I'm not a marketing expert or anything, but to me this is pretty common sense. If I'm saying something that's just really, really, really weird out there, okay, let me know. But I don't think so. I really don't think so. I don't think most Republicans want to listen to him trashing Ron DeSantis. I don't think the true Republicans, those that believe in the Constitution and that kind of stuff, I don't believe they are happy that McDaniels is in there. And the majority of Republicans, the ones that aren't wearing masks in public, are totally disgusted with the COVID problem, the COVID situation, and what he's saying. So please give him some advice. I'm hoping he can get reelected, but if he's going to talk like this and do these things, he's losing it. He's losing it, and we all need to send a very loud message by leaving the RNC. Go change your party affiliation. Man, if next year, if you feel like getting back into it or if they seem like they're truly listening to you, which I know they won't be, but if you believe that somehow you need to do that at the end, okay, get back into it. But right now, everyone who's ticked off about what's going on here needs to leave the party. I will be leaving the party, period. Will I ever go back to it? Highly, highly unlikely. Now, if Trump happens to still make it through the primary and he's still out there, in all likelihood, I will vote for him. I don't know who else would be there. But in all likelihood, he makes it past the primary, which right now it's, I would say he's going to. But if he makes it, then I would most likely be the one voting for him in the election, depending on who's out there. I mean, there's no way I'm going to be voting for any of the Democrats because they're all a bunch of communists. So I don't know there'd be any better option. And I like a lot of what Trump did. But he failed on a few things, too. He needs to be a man and say that. Now, I've got, looks like, got Nathan, Karen, and probably Sarge out there. So we're going to go right down the list here. Nathan, what are you thinking? Hello, and how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm doing great. Now, listen, here's the deal. If you ever want to pretend and make people believe that you're a prophet, you can fool them by making a prediction of somebody that they are consistent with. Like if he never shows up on time, he never lets you know he's running late, and he tells you stuff that ain't true, you can predict that he's going to lie in the future, and then they'll believe you're really a prophet. But you're not really a prophet. You're just going off of his history and who he is. And this is why we need to vote for the Republicans, because like you mentioned earlier on the Patriot Act, they're going to save us from the government spying on us. And if you go and check out the Patriot vote, it was 98 yeses, one no, and one not voting. And the one not voting and the one no was both Democrats. 100% of the Republicans ran against that, and then they voted for it, okay? So you can predict what they're going to do in 6 months from now and in 2 years from now. Let me tell you about Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, I'm going to tell you who he's going to get in trouble. He got a Christian leaders all across this country that has endorsed him, or back in 2012, they did the stealth endorsement. Instead of saying, I endorse him, they just said, look, we can't afford four more years of Obama, as if there was no other choice but Romney. Here's what Romney did. Romney was on the board. Now, you don't have to agree with me on, nobody has to agree with me on these issues, but Romney was on the board of Marriott, okay, and he promoted and voted for pornography in the chain. Now, I'm not going to get into that subject, but if you don't want your spouse stopping there and watching pornography and probably some lady standing in the door, you know, you might not like that, but Romney was there and promoted that. He also promoted, as a board member, he promoted gays in the Boy Scouts of America, okay? And then later when it falls apart and people are abandoning it because these boys are getting molested by these men, and they pretty much, the Boy Scouts of America pretty much dried up, and they came up with another Christian version of it. This guy locally here, the lawyer, he's really, Stemberger is really big into that. He was a part of that. And but here's the thing. These people will vote, or either to stealth and vote for Romney, and yet they are abandoning the BSA and not mentioning, yeah, other than we don't want gays in there. Why don't you call Romney out? And I'm going to tell you why they won't. Romney owns Clear Channel, and he owns iHeartMedia. That's why back in the day, nobody, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, nobody would say anything bad about Romney. And if they did say anything about him, they would give an example of him being a good leader or something he said that was accurate. You know, he's signing their paycheck because his Bain Capital owns this stuff. And then we have two talk shows. This is why I will never vote for the Republicans, even if it costs me my life. If I had to bet my life on it, just order the flowers now, okay? Mitt Romney, God knows he's a crazy one. Mitt Romney owns Stericycle. That's the company that's disposed of the baby body part remains after an abortion. And these Republicans,
yeah.
These Republican Christians, these Christian leaders. Now, to show you how much pull he has in talk radio, in 2012 when he was running, in order to win Florida, you have to win the I-4 corridor because two-thirds of the population lives on I-4. Okay? Mitt Romney, about 2 months before the election, they put him late at night doing rewinds, but Michael Savage and Rusty Humphries, Michael Savage was in the top three up there beating Rush out in some of his markets. Rusty Humphries, a legend in talk radio, in the top 100, he was in the top 20. And they got thrown on the late night, and some other guy comes in their spot, and then later they got dropped because Romney, Michael Savage, would speak out about why Romney's not the man for the job as president. And he got wiped up for that. Now, Rusty Humphries won't say anything. He's being a good guy. But if you got a comment about Mitt Romney, he would let you call in, and he would say, Nathan Orlando, what you got to say? And I would start rattling off. And you know what? He got removed in 2012. And right now, they just are not in talk radio. This is what Romney will do to your career, and you've lived your whole life, and this is your passion. They'll put you on at a desk. Okay, now that there is an evil man, and here's what I got a problem with, is these Christian leaders endorsing him because he's better than Romney, better than Obama. No, Romney was doing Obama, Obama was in diapers, Romney was doing Obama's policies, because if you type in all of Obama's czars, all you got to do is type in the czar's name and type in the plus sign and hit Mitt Romney, and guess what? It goes over and you find stuff on this czar was his advisor in the same position as governor for this guy. So, and two-thirds of Obama's czars was his, and you start with the healthcare czar, okay? And most of his two-thirds of, I'm not a mathematician, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood, a big chunk of them, were Romney's advisors, and the rest of them were mostly Clinton's, and then some of them were W's. So you know what? America is done if we ever try to save the Republican Party. All I will say, everybody can vote for and be a part of any group they want, but I will say there is no two-party politicals or any political party system in the Constitution. There is no two-party electoral college in the Constitution. There is nothing party. The citizens vote for the electors, and the electors are citizens, fellow citizens. You could be a citizen elector, and I could say, Sally, why'd you vote for that guy? And you're going to say, because it's my conscience, get out of my face. You don't owe me nothing. You don't owe anybody. And then we have a presidential election, and then we have a vice presidential election. And so that's what we need to do, is we need to get away from the two parties. Our founders counseled against it. And we just, here's the thing, it's not us. It's people at the top. They understand. We got to get them organized, because as long as we got them organized, then they're against each other. And as long as they're against each other, we can manipulate it. And that's why you got so many 100-0 votes, like Ted Cruz's 100-0 vote after his 21-hour filibuster. So, you know, this is the thing. Give me liberty or give me death. I'm willing to die before you make me vote for either one of these parties. I will vote for only citizen candidates. And I'll close on this one. We had a Navy SEAL coming back from the war in 2010. He knew what we needed to do in Congress to get this mess in the Middle East straightened out. And the Republicans made a deal with him that Dan Webster he knows Congress. He knows how to navigate it. And what we need to do is we need to get behind him. And they gave him a one-hour show three nights a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And he went on WDBO, and he was rallying the troops to get behind the Republicans and Dan Webster. And then as soon as Dan Webster got elected, he went right up there and kept doing what he's always done. The same thing Mitt Romney and Ted Cruz and George W. and all the rest of them do. I will die if I didn't have anybody to vote for, but I will never, ever vote for any Republican or Democrat, and especially the Republicans. I can pretend to be a prophet and probably sell you that you really believe I can, because it's easy. All you got to do is go back and look at how they voted and then watch today how they're managing the vote. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get in my therapy here, but that's just where I stand. But anyway,
yep.
I'm going to let you go. But Mitt Romney Mitt Romney is an evil man.
Oh, yeah.
And all those Christian leaders,
yep.
All those Christian leaders, local and national, that endorsed him, man, you know, I will let them know in a minute I can't trust you.
Yeah. Such
I'm going to hang up and keep listening.
Reconcile. Okay. Thank you, Nathan. Good info. We'll talk more about that at the Electoral College on a separate show. We are going to have a show strictly on the Electoral College. Okay, now let's go down to Karen.
Tend to be a prophet.
Hello,
Karen, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you. crazy stuff going on out there. Yeah, I'll follow up with what Nathan was saying. The whole point is the election fraud in the 2024 election. This is all coming up, and the parties, it is a rigged game. And when you talk Romney, you can't help but talk about Paul Ryan, and where is Paul Ryan over at Fox News creating havoc there? With that being said, what are you thinking about, Karen?
Well, I'm thinking about how this is really a diversion as to what the real topic is. And the way mm-hmm. that I see it right now, we have three massive problems that nobody talks about because they talk about things that they can't fix, they can't do anything about, but it'll aggravate them and they don't have to do anything. And we have to be the group of people that do. Otherwise, we're going to get zero, you know. Those who try get, at least you get something. If you do 20%, you get 20%. If you do 100%, you get 100%. But if you do nothing, you get zero, and that's what we have been doing. But it is good to see many people finally opening their eyes and understanding that this stuff that we're going through right now is all connected. And the way that it's going to be controlled is through this, I wish I had drums because I do them now, through this digital currency. And it doesn't matter what you think. If they get digital currency passed, you won't have money in your hip pocket to pay for whatever you want when you want it. You will have an overseer who will be rating everything you do, turning it into the government, giving you a score, and that is your digital currency. And people are surprised now that in some places they're being told they could only live in a 350-square apartment. And apartments are being built all over the country. Well, why aren't we talking about that? Why aren't we talking about what's going on the southern border, which is a total disaster? Where's Congress? Why aren't we talking about it? And right now, as of now, what are they saying? 6 million people coming in? 6 million people are already here. So let's look at it this way. 6 million people, and all of these 6 million people are entitled to bring their families. And because of Barack's lying DACA, they can bring their extended families. What can we do about it? make sure that they don't get welfare, that they don't get any payments from America, Americans, and make sure that they don't get jobs either. We are destroying ourselves because we're not talking about this, because we're busy talking about other things, which we're not going to be able to fix Congress right now. We have to pay attention to our local area. You're so right. And by the way, while we're down in the local area, just before we leave there, Mitt Romney. Would you be surprised if I told you that Mitt Romney and his son is a friend of Hunter Biden and is mentioned many times in business dealings with the Bidens? Now, do you think that Mitt Romney is going to vote to impeach? He's going to have, you know, go bonkers once they open up the laptop and say all of the things that are in there. And John Kerry's son is Hunter Biden's friend. Now, let me ask you a question. Unless I am absolutely 100% strong like President Trump, there is a good chance that I would go to a party put on by one of these people. Now, do you think that drugs and alcohol are not going to be there? Do you think that prostitutes are not going to be there? If they wanted to stop this, which they don't, because they're enjoying it, it's up to us. And this is where we really have to be strong with our representatives in telling them we should not be talking about anything right now except the debt ceiling. We do not want to wait until two nights before to then have to rush and pass something that nobody read that's a gazillion pages long. They're setting us up for that. We have to be smarter than that. And we're not, we're following the same plan, and we have to really stop. So we're in a, you know, we're in a situation right now where there will be 6 million people coming into the country because of Barack's and of course the liberal courts. They can bring in their families. Let's just say there's 6 million people, and now we're going to give each one of them $6,000 a month. I don't know about you, but do you get $6,000 a month from the government salary? Am I missing something?
No. They take as much as they can from me every month.
Yeah, oh, well, you know. That's exactly right. We have to say no, we're not doing this. We have to say, okay, when California says, oh, $23 billion in the hole, well, that's okay. Joe, we need another 50. This is insanity.
Well, and that's the other thing right now, because I've asked the question, and you know I ask it to Tom Homan at that one event we went to. When it comes to the immigration, when do we have the right to defend our own homeland? Because right now we're standing there watching the invasion and doing nothing. When do we, the people, have the right to defend? Because we, the people, are supposed to be the sovereign government. Some, you know, we do have some part
yes.
in all this. But
yes,
at the same time. Yeah, let me just say this. We might get a handful of people up there in Congress that actually want to do something about that border, and I believe we have a fair amount. Don't ask me about that Senate. That's another disgusting situation. But right now, funding at the federal level, there's very truly little. We got to keep pounding them. We got to keep pushing. And I think it's going to be a real test of what this Republican House does to attempt mm-hmm. to stop this, but how yes. much they can truly stop it is going to be what I really don't know. And then at the local level, I'm totally with you. When these people are moved to the local areas, you need to make sure all of your locals and your state's elected know that you don't feel like paying for it. But I'm not sure how we can totally defund welfare. You know, myself, what can I go out there to truly defund welfare for illegals? This is the part that's so frustrating to me, because I want to do something, but it seems like everything I attempt I don't have any rights.
That can be done through the House, not on the budget. You have to have
what we push.
There is absolutely there's no place on earth that even says that an illegal follows the Constitution. What it does say is that all people who are under the jurisdiction of the U.S. Constitution are American citizens. If you're illegal, you're not under the jurisdiction. You're under the jurisdiction of your home country. You're trespassing, and that's illegal. And by doing it any other way is kind of self-defeating, because what this is all about is two things. The alliance between Mexico, America, and Canada. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Joe is now romancing that stone again. And they came to an agreement.
North American Union, for those who don't know, North American Union,
yes.
And which was
North
George
American
W.
Union.
Bush
it
who signed it in
back
in 2005.
Again.
Yep.
It is back again, and that's why the establishment, quote, is now under like a laser beam to get as many people in as possible so that they can blow all of these sustainable products and programs paid for by we the people. In the meantime, if you don't like it, that's too bad. We don't care. We're not interested in what you like. So we have to first get everybody to just even understand that, because that's what the rhinos are about. And, I mean, the way that I looked at the RNC mess was, A, they withdrew their money. She lied. However, last year, no one ran against her. This year, 60, 70 brave people said no. Next year, we'll be able to add that to our vetting of the electors and say, okay, if blah, 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 will you vote no? We have the right to ask them. Most people don't even know what they are. They have no idea what this is. And if you're not an RNC member or a Republican, then I guess you can't ask. But I don't care about that, because I'm fed up with that also. The only thing you have to be careful of in Florida is that if you are registered with a party, when the primary comes, you can only vote for the members of that party. So you're voting within the party, and that's the primary. So if you're not a Republican and Trump is, you know, or DeSantis or whoever, I can't even say that. Trump is running and you want to vote for him, then you would have to be a registered Republican. And I believe you have to register, I want to say 60 days. I remember the number 6.
Yeah. There's no reason why you can't leave the Republican Party now and send a message to them. You go ahead and switch. Go become an independent, no party affiliate or whatever, to a different party.
Yes.
But no part. Do that now, because we have to send a message to them. And the one other thing,
and then they'll woo you to come. Yeah. They'll woo you to come back. And that's when you say, look, are you going to do this, 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 and this? What do you know? What are you doing? For the most part, we up here are going to have to make sure that all of the counties are aware of some of the land and development tricks that are going on in South Florida, so that they are not copied here as this area goes to through growth, which should be following the resources that are available. You don't build an area where you're going to overdo the resources that are there. And that really has been what has been going on. And then this, I can't even say his name.
Well,
Secretary of
actually
Transportation.
Butthead.
Yes.
That's what I call my butthead.
Yes, I like that. Yes.
Well,
he gives
yeah,
him
go
confidence
over that and
I'm going to
comment on the growth.
Yeah, he gives incompetence a new name. But just because they're incompetent, we don't have to be incompetent in our towns and cities. And we have to pay attention because you get the government you vote for. And if you don't pay attention, which we have not been paying attention, that was done on purpose because they could divert our attention to stupid nonsense like what pronoun to use.
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to steal this and charge that and do that. But you make sure you use the right pronoun, sweetheart.
Well, when it comes to the growth and that stuff, I got to chime in real quick here. Which actually I'm new in this area in Jackson County. When I say I've been here a little over a year, I've lived in Orange County all my life, and I saw the games going on. But this, we talk about this. I want to put a couple of ideas out there. And Karen, I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with me, but you can chime in. The first off, I got to get find out and get more involved with the planning of right here in Jackson County, and we all have to push for promoting the single-family home, the American dream of the single-family home. Stop building all these compounds they call apartments. They are taking away your right to even own property, which was a very big deal in this country. It's supposed to be. If you don't have the right to own property, you have no liberty. But they are trying to force all of us out of our homes. And I believe it was Minnesota that was the first state that actually banned single-family homes. We need to go the other way around, planning. We need planning to be for single-family homes, planning to exclude stupid things like solar farms that destroy your farming land, and you need to be promoting those types of things. So getting involved in local planning is so important. But I'm telling you, people, you got to stop all this insanity of these compounds called apartments because they keep you from being able to even own a house. They make them so expensive. It's just disgusting. And the whole – and understand – this isn't because there was a need for the apartments. This isn't market-driven. This is all about what they call smart growth, which is really stupid. But smart growth, which is all to have everybody crammed together in a small space, claiming to save the climate, which, by the way, speaking green, I've got to make sure I remember to get this in there. A little bit off topic here, but green energy is killing the whales. What they're doing with these wind farms or wind projects out in the water is actually killing the whales, if anybody cares, if they really, really care, which I don't think they do. But anyway, the point is be engaged in what's going on locally. And the other thing, Karen, you said something about people not voting. We get the government is a direct reflection of we the people. This government is so out of control because people have been out of control. People have not been engaged. They have not participated. So we really do get the government we deserve, and the government is definitely a reflection of what we the people are. Too many people are too worried about a stupid football game and not worried about saving their country. And I'll go back to you on that one.
No, I agree with you 100%. We have to get involved, and then we go back to the same thing. So here's a different thought. These people are not going to come to us. We have to go to them. Join a different club. Not necessarily, it doesn't have to be a Democrat club, but join a library club or who knows, or whatever club that you enjoy and meet other people who you will get to be able to talk to. We all ask for not getting out of our comfort zone. And then we wind up talking to the same people with the same reaction. And usually, Sally, after the show, you get lots of compliments, and it's wonderful. That's not what I'm talking about. But the problem is you get the compliments and the people feel comfortable because of what you said, and then they do nothing. And then the next week they turn on the radio or whatever, and they do the same thing all over again, and then they do nothing. So we have to stop the doing nothing part. That's the big problem. We have different degrees of nothingness or different degrees of participation. But this is America, and it is the job of every American to do something to save the country. And for those of you who say, oh, she's crazy, and I'm getting Medicare and Medicaid and this program and that program and blah, 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 I got news for all of you. These programs are government run. They are not run by the NGO, as you think, because they're getting funded by we, the people. So pick out some of these projects and tell your representative, I don't want to fund that organization because. Don't make it nasty, but give your reason, because they never give the reason. They'll just call you a racist. And then you say, give me an example, and they'll hang up on you. Their job is not to give an example. Their job is to call you a racist.
Yeah, their job is to avoid the subject, to run around and do everything they can to divert the conversation, don't answer anything, whatever. It's a racket. It really is a racket.
Right. So we have seen this play before, you know, and it's time to turn the channel. But what we should learn is that we need to follow their way of gathering people and do what they do, because they did do better with that. And now we have the people, but not if we forget them. You know, are you going back into the Hispanic community and talking to your constituents? Or are you leaving them flat and going and playing somewhere, tennis or golf on a holiday? No, we have to pay attention. The difference, the real difference, I think, between the Democrats and the Republicans, and now I'm talking about the parties themselves, is that to the Democrats, elections are 365 days a year, every year, all the time, 24 hours. The Republicans say, oh, I did that job, I'm done.
True.
And then they say, here's the book of what we did. Look it up yourself. You'll see we're telling the truth. And then make your own decision. That's another one. So these people are incapable of making a decision because all decisions have been made for them by the corrupt government. So we have to give them the decision. It just doesn't have to be the government's decision. It has to be ours. We have to tell them what we expect the outcome to be. And act accordingly, because they're used to that.
I think we got Sarge and one other caller out here. And so go ahead and finish up on that one and continue, and then I'm going to read something that's out there in the chat. But it's all true. It's up to us. Everybody's got to understand, it's up to us. It's we the people who are going to save this country or allow it to be destroyed.
Yep. That's the simplest. That's it. There's not much more to say after that. If you look at every agency,
I'm sorry, say that again.
If you look at every agency, if you look at every organization, if you look at every NGO, every project, every department, every bureaucracy, they're all run the same way. So why would you think if one was corrupt that the rest of them wouldn't be?
Exactly.
I mean, look who you're dealing with and get your head out of the clouds. They mean you harm. They mean us harm. They want us, Bill Gates, to eat meat that is grown in the garden, in wherever the hell he's growing his GMO garbage.
Oh,
is he going to eat it? I don't think so. I don't think he's going to eat it. Something tells me that he's not going to eat it. And in the meantime, they're going to kill all of the livestock because they can. And if they can't do it by regulating it through the FDA, that's the Food Drug Administration, then they'll regulate it by the EPA and tell you that your cows fart and therefore you can't have them or you have to pay a fart fee.
Which I think the cow thing is another local thing that people really need to be getting involved in locally and making sure they protect the agriculture and the farming and stuff on their own land. Definitely a biggie.
Yes, and yes, check all the boxes. It's your food. Now, the good news is, the good news is that you should be able to arrange in your town, in your county, enough land so that everybody could have a parcel. All of the taxpayers, help them. If that's what your town is about, help the people that live there. Give a grant, even of make a deal with a fertilizer company. There's so many things that you can do to help the farmer, because if you help the farmer, they will help you eat.
We
have to outsmart them, because before anybody picks up arms, they're going to squeeze us to death of things that they're going to play takeaway, like the gas stove.
Well, okay. Well, that being said,
thank you so much.
Stay on.
Yes, I will.
Hang on, and we'll probably get back around to you. We've got the two other calls right now, but I also want to read this one thing. It's lightweight out in the chat. The 2010 Tea Party was I think it meant saving the Republican Party, can't read the writing there. Saving the Republican Party, it's over, and they hijacked the Tea Party with reelecting the Republicans, hold their feet to the fire, Republicans got reelected, Republicans gave us Obama policies. Totally true. It's the same stuff, kind of like what Nathan was saying. And it's totally true. And who was it? McConnell. McConnell said, we're taking down that Tea Party. We are not going to let that Tea Party go. Republicans destroyed the Tea Party movement, which is kind of where now we call it a MAGA movement. It's very similar to what the Tea Party movement was, kind of thing. So, if you're going to drink the Republican Kool-Aid, don't be surprised when you're might as well get the jab, kind of thing. Same thing. Okay, now let me see. I got is this Sarge? If it's not Sarge, please give me your first name.
Yeah, hi. This is not Sarge. How are you? Enjoying your program. This is Solution. Look, I hope Sarge calls in. A couple of points, and nothing that I'm about to say should be construed as I'm a devotee of Trump. But what I thought I heard you say regarding Trump was that you would not vote for him, and also about the Ron DeSantis-Trump beef. On the issue
Quick.
Go ahead.
Just so you know, I didn't say I wouldn't vote for Trump. I didn't say that. Nathan said he wouldn't vote for Trump. I didn't say that.
Oh.
Okay.
I thought you did. Well,
you sound an awful lot like New Orleans.
Well, just to comment on that anyway, regarding Trump's accomplishments, I think, and again, I'm not a devotee of his, but I'm just I consider myself an objective observer. And I think he'll go down as the greatest president in U.S. history based on accomplishments, and I just cite three. There are many, many more. But the border situation, inflation, and energy independence, I think that all of those were very positive under his administration. What do you think about that?
Most definitely. And let me set the record straight. When it comes to Trump and me, now, Nathan, he was saying he's never voting for any Republican again, so that was Nathan. And, you know, that's Nathan. Now, in my own case, I did not vote for Trump the first time. Of course, I didn't vote for Hillary either. I voted for a third party because I really just didn't know. But in 2020, I did vote for Trump. I loved what he was doing. I was concerned about the COVID stuff and things like that. Me and many others were doing the research on what COVID, the jabs, really were, which are a bioweapon, and that type of thing. So there were things when it came to COVID that I was very concerned about. But I never blamed him.
Right.
He had Fauci, who was supposed to be the expert. But I do think he did. And of course, Pence wasn't exactly his ally either. But he had Scott Atlas was there, and I don't think he took advantage of Scott Atlas, David Martin, and some other people who reached out to him in reference to the COVID thing. And I can only imagine what it would be like to have no clue. Or at least no, you know, he's not a medical doctor. And I doubt seriously, what was he thinking? When he got into office, was he thinking about a pandemic? Probably not. And it really was a plandemic. And so I'm like trying to imagine what would it be like in a situation. What's really going on? Is it really as bad as they're telling you? Who do you trust? Who do you believe? I totally understood. And I thought what he did in the beginning was great. And it kept because of the way he took action, like the ships out there, the medical ships and things, and getting the ventilators, even though they truly were unfortunately part of the problem, helped kill people and things like that. But he was doing the things he thought to help save people. So he never did the lockdowns. That was the states. He remembered the rights of the states. He respected that. So there were many things he did in the beginning of this thing that I totally supported. I totally understand, and I don't blame him. I really do not blame him. The part I am frustrated now is because I don't think he can face the truth of what really has happened here and how, to me, it truly is a type of genocide. And you can either call it genocide. You can either call it a bioweapon war. This truly was an attack, and the people launching this attack are the evildoers, like the World Economic Forum people and the Bill Gates people, depopulation, destroy America. And they don't care if they destroy the world in the process. I mean, this is my own opinion, what I saw and what I've read up, and knowing a little bit about history. This
right.
was truly an attack, and he needs to accept that something didn't go right instead of going out there acting like it was a success. And he's also got to realize the vaccines have killed people. I mean, I'm not the doctor. I'm not the one doing this. But you go out there and watch the died suddenly and some of these others out there. There's something seriously wrong with that vaccine. It was a bioweapon. Face it. Just face it. And I sent letters directly to him through the one website saying, you got to admit what happened here. And China was more than willing to be a participant. Why would they want Trump to be reelected? It was all to stop Trump. And Trump was saving America. So
Right. And given the latent effect. Yes, thank you. Given the latent effect of drugs, that's the reason it normally takes about 12 years and many, many dollars in order for the CDC, I believe it's the CDC or Food and Drug Administration, to approve a drug. So, yeah, I think there will be a lot more negative consequences. So I think I'm in league with you there. Now, just briefly, regarding DeSantis, I was trying to beef up on it, listen to what Trump had to say. Usually Trump doesn't attack anyone unless they attack him first. I've heard him say that on numerous occasions, and that seems to be pretty accurate. So my question to you would be, has DeSantis or his crew, as it were, said anything negative about Trump to your knowledge? In other words, did they throw the first blow?
Myself, I do not recall DeSantis going after Trump. I know he's definitely gone after the COVID mandates and all this kind of stuff, which I'm in total support of. I know he's done things to maybe not shine the best light on what Trump is saying. He's kind of what his actions are, but I happen to believe his actions are right. I believe these people, and as I listed on my show page, we need to talk about the Nuremberg trials and the Nuremberg Code and what really happened here. There should be people held accountable. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody says. That's my own opinion.
I think Fauci should be in jail, but that's my observation. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, but when it comes to DeSantis, I don't know that, I mean, myself, Karen's a Floridian. She maybe recalls something, but I don't recall him saying anything specific against Trump. It's just he's taking a little bit different approach.
I'm sorry. What about the second part, though? What about members of DeSantis's team? Because I don't recall exactly what it was, but I think I recall them throwing some dirt at Trump. But nevertheless, go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest, I'm not sure if they have. I mean, we know there's been plenty of people who have thrown dirt on Trump in different directions. We know there's been plenty of Republicans who didn't support him.
Right.
You know, let's face it, the Republicans were not his friend many times. So they may have. I'm not sure, to be honest. I wouldn't be able to say for sure on that one.
Yeah, well, I think they did. I'm going to go with my gut feeling here. I think I did hear someone, if not DeSantis, and I understand your point about, which I concur, that, and Trump, by the way, was not for the lockdown, as you said, and I think it was, an individual choice as far as taking the, and I don't call it a vaccine. I got into a discussion with my doctor's office. I call it, at minimum, a treatment. I don't think it deserves the title of a vaccine at all because it doesn't prevent the person from catching the disease, nor does it prevent them from passing it on. So it doesn't have any of the classic definitions of a vaccine. What do you say?
It definitely doesn't. Geno therapy or something like that is more like what it is. I mean, let's face it, the CDC had to go and change the definition of a vaccine to try to make it be qualify. So, no, it's not a vaccine. And
yeah,
that
was very bad way that they would have to change the definition in order to push their narrative.
Exactly. So when they're changing their definition right there, it tells you something right there. So, no, it never was a vaccine. They knew that, and they knew so many things before they started jabbing people. So it's been very disgusting to me. It's evil, truly, truly evil. And I don't for one minute think that Donald Trump is an evil person. I don't think this is what he wanted. But
Right,
he
and I like what
to,
you said, and I concur. I believe that he loves the country. And I'll just leave that as a definitive statement. The other thing regarding the vaccine, alleged vaccine, is that it was all about filthy lucre, profit incentive, because I don't think that, first of all, the companies, the drug companies, have immunity from, and I'm always suspicious when that is the case. You know that they can't be sued, correct?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. How convenient.
Yeah, so that brings a lot of suspicion in regard to a drug such as this. I never took it. I never intended to take it. I don't even take the flu vaccine. But I did take prophylactics, though, in terms of zinc, copper, and things of that nature, and also vitamin D, which they said was always lacking in people that had serious trouble with COVID. And plus having no comorbidities, you know, I don't think it was ever as dangerous as people made it out to be. It's just that it was new, it was highly contagious, and we didn't have any treatment for it. So, you know, I just think it was, a problem.
Actually, let me chime in on that one.
Yeah.
This is my opinion. Put it out there, my opinion. I am not a medical doctor. My own personal opinion is two things happened in addition to destroying Trump's campaign and that type of thing. Two things here. It was a major test of the American will. How easily could Americans surrender their rights? We failed the test miserably. The other part is, and I've said this many times on this show, and I'll say it many more times before it's over, I personally have no doubt, had they not gone out there, oh, my God, you're going to die. Wait a minute. You better go. You go to the hospital. I mean, die in the hospital, unfortunately. All the fear-mongering that they did. I personally believe, had they not done that, if they would have done it like some of the other SARS viruses in the past, SARS-1, whatever it was, and said, we have this new strain of this coronavirus, and, if you think something's wrong, whatever. I believe the majority of people would have never gone to get tested, never gone to the doctors. They would have done like they have done for the rest of their life, of going to the drugstore, getting some cold medicine, cough medicine, whatever. They would have done this because what they had really was, to me, probably nothing more than the typical flu or cold. But because they said this, and because of all the money tied to it, they went to get the test. They were scared. I never went. I never went to have a test, and I never had the jab. I just continued, and I did take some extra supplements, which I still do today, the D3 and the zinc and stuff, try to be a little bit more proactive in my immune system. But I never did the others. And for the most part, I really didn't wear masks in public either, only on a couple of occasions. But I believe they scared people so much. And Americans should not be that scared. If I could ever give a message to my fellow Americans out there, please use the brain God gave you. Do not don't drink Fauci Kool-Aid. You gotta watch out for what these people do. Go out there and do some research and, use common sense. Don't just automatically trust that everything.
Not really to their credit, but to an objective observation, there were bodies piling up, and it seems to me that people were being attacked, even though I believe the drug was created. I've heard numerous doctors speak on this. I feel that a lot of people were dying as a result of, a combination of things, the comorbidity plus the COVID. And so that picture of all those people demise, I think that really caused some concern also, don't you think?
Well, two parts on that one. Obviously, the treatment they were given in these hospitals wasn't exactly the best. It seems like many people didn't survive there. But I said this way back when. This was probably 6 months into this, before the vaccine even came out, when people were going to the hospital. I said, I find it totally amazing that COVID-19 has cured influenza and pneumonia. No, people don't die from that anymore. We don't have that anymore. It's all this. And I did go back through, and me and some other activists, if you want to call us that, but inquiring minds want to know, go back the last 10 years of how many people died from influenza and pneumonia and similar things, but definitely those two. And something wasn't right to me. I said, wait a minute. All of a sudden, no one gets the flu anymore. All of a sudden, no one gets pneumonia. And, I mean, the line was zero. I'm sorry. I just don't believe all of a sudden no one gets influenza. And more importantly is they used it in the hospitals. Everything was COVID. And the ventilators helped kill people. Their treatment was not helpful. They blocked, which I'm sure you know this, emergency use authorization. Why did they tell Trump he couldn't talk about hydroxychloroquine? Because if it's immune therapy, emergency use. Why did they block early treatment the way they did? There's something very, very sick about what they were doing with this vaccine. And how many people got a true vaccine versus got water or whatever else?
Placebo, exactly.
And they got paid as though every single one of them was a vaccine. How many billions of dollars the pharmaceuticals made it? And do we have a Congress who's going to go back and say, wait a minute, if you're reckless with people's lives, then you're going to have to pay for it. And let me say one other thing real quick. This is a great conversation. I'm enjoying this.
Same here. And I want to mention the hydroxychloroquine just briefly.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, what I was about to say is that, yeah, that was a deliberate cover-up right there. That was a deflection and a diversion. You know, we have to acknowledge, and it's very hard to really say this, but it's true. Money or wealth tends to, it can trump everything, even life itself. So the people who didn't have it, you know, they didn't see themselves necessarily in jeopardy, and it was just all about making money. Now, I'm all for that, by the way, but not by dubious and nefarious means. I don't think that route should be taken. But, yeah, the blocking of drugs that were known to prevent the disease, yeah, that was horrible, unconscionable.
The other thing when it comes to, and I believe it was Reagan who first came up with this immunity for the big pharma kind of stuff, and while all this was coming up, I was talking about it. I said, well, you know, there's a certain element I can understand that to create a vaccine is definitely going to be very costly, very time-consuming, and if there, it was, I don't, whether it's big pharma or whoever else, they all, everybody wants to make money. Money, unfortunately, is one of the keys to the root of all evil kind of thing, greed. But they have to be able to make money. They have to be able to profit from it. So
absolutely.
I sort of understood if it's a trial and people, you know, I how do you make this worth someone to invest or a corporation to invest in all these studies and all this research and protect them when it's first out there? Because I don't care what they do. They can do all the testing they want on rats or mice or whatever else. When you, there's going to possibly be something different when you put it out in the real world with humans. And so I can understand there was a risk, just a natural risk associated with something like this. But what has happened here is not a risk. They knew what was going on, and they really didn't care. They cared more about making money is what it looks like to me. And the money is just, they killed. This to me is just... talk about crimes against humanity, talk about genocide, mass murder. I truly do believe that's what this vaccine, jab, genotherapy, whatever you want to call it, is. And I think that it's little by little it's all coming out. That's to me, that's what we're going to find out.
I think you're exactly right. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I believe this was the fastest approval that has ever occurred in history. And as I was on the, what was it, the CDC website, it's a minimum of 12 years in toto, maybe a little bit longer before a drug gets approval. And so that was approved in something like 8 months, less than 2 years, let's say. So, yeah, I agree with you fully. Hey, look here, wonderful speaking with you, and I'll continue to listen, and so you carry on with your program. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Excellent discussion. And with that being said, let's go. This one must be Sarge, and he must be going crazy wanting to get a word in there. Sarge, is that you? If it's you, Sarge, you're on mute.
I'm sorry, Sally. I had myself on mute because I didn't want to disturb the excellent flow of the conversation there. Now, why would I be disturbed when I was having... listening to such stimulating dialogue and, you know, intellectually acute conversation. I mean, that was the best. It's been that way all night with everybody that's called in tonight. Everybody.
Oh, it has been an excellent conversation. Now, I do have one question for you that I want to make sure we cover, and then you can talk about anything else that's on your mind. The Battle of Athens. Now, that's next week. You're going to be on next week, right?
Oh, I'll be there with bells on, trust me.
And what is the book or the video that you're telling people they should watch before that?
No, they should read the book, The Battle, The Fighting Bunch. It's about the Battle of Athens. The Fighting Bunch is a book. It's chock-a-block full of pictures, photographs of the actual people that were involved, the events of the day. It's really an entertaining and very enlightening read. And the dilemma, what's really interesting is a dilemma of the authorities after the event took place. They didn't know whether to prosecute all the people, because let's face it, they did commit numerous crimes in the process of doing what they were doing, you know, ensuring there was election integrity in their town and running a corrupt sheriff and his deputies out of town and all this other stuff. They did commit a lot of crimes in the process of doing so. And they couldn't figure out what to do. They just eventually just made some cursory charges, very low-level charges, just a few people, and they all eventually wound up being dropped. That was what was really fascinating to me at the end of it. There was really no real ramifications of anybody against anyone who was actually involved in the insurrection, so to speak.
Exactly. So anyway, so next week, everybody, you're going to want to tune in. The Battle of Athens, 1947, take back the ballot box. So that was election fraud back in the day. Okay, and
let's
that
remember,
your question,
Seth Rally, we've got
that?
Four boxes involved in our in the citizens' participation in our constitutional government. Number one is the soapbox. We get to talk about things. And let's face it, that has been severely, I guess you could say, attenuated by the actions of the fascists in the federal government and corporate America and big tech. So they kind of messed that one up. Then after that, you know, you've got the ballot box where you go to your polling booth and you cast your ballot for the candidate of your choice. And let's face it, there's been a lot of questions about that one, too. I mean, the evidence, what just came out in Arizona with Kerry Lake, 200,000 votes suppressed from the Freedom of Information Act that she got in a heavily Republican district, and a margin of victory for Katie Hobbs was 17,000 votes. So when that kind of thing happened, say nothing of the shenanigans that went on in the 2020 presidential election, okay, the ballot box is under question. Then you got the jury box. Well, you're supposed to be able to go to a court to redress certain grievances by either civil lawsuit or getting people criminally prosecuted to violate the law. We can see the corruption at work there. That leaves one last significant box, the cartridge box. And that's what those veterans of World War II used in the Battle of Athens. They better not let it get to the point where it gets to the cartridge box. But anyway, I hope we don't have to talk Brother Nathan off the ledge. You know, I'll listen to Brother Nathan. But look, his commentary was so compelling, it was just impossible for me to ignore, especially since I agree with just about all of it. I mean, I became thoroughly acquainted with the duplicitous nature of the uni-party system when I gave my wholehearted support in both my support and my time to Alan Key's doomed 2005 senatorial campaign against the venerated one, Barack Hussein Obama. And I could see the two wings of the Uni Party cooperating together to ensure that Alan Keyes wouldn't have a prayer of getting elected against the chosen one. And chosen by the Democrats and acquiesced to by the Republicans because they wanted to have their favors from the Democratic Party in the future. It was just a disgrace. One of the most shameful things. The chairman of the Republican Party deliberately threw the match. She just gave it all up because Alan Keyes was not homosexual friendly. And Judy Bob Topinka, that was her name. She was the chairman of the Illinois Republican Party. She was all in for every homosexual initiative you can possibly think of. Damn the idea of Alan Keyes being a Republican senatorial campaign nominee. Couldn't stand it. But one of the reasons that I don't completely give up on the Republican Party, as Nathan has taken for himself, I mean, he's not recommending the rest of us do it, but he's certainly, I believe him when he says he's not going to have anything to do with the Republican Party. There's only one reason I don't give up on the all too frequently cowardly, feckless, and ineffectually corrupt Republican Party is because almost every hour of the day that I'm awake and throughout the night, when I'm asleep having nightmares about them, the Democrats, demon rats I call them now, perpetuate some new overt outrage against our liberties, our sovereignty, and most of all the Constitutional Republic. They do it on an hourly basis nowadays, practically. Republicans may be, at least they're better at concealing it. And maybe they don't go to the extent the demon rats do. But it's the only thing that keeps people from full-bore Nathan, okay, the only thing. The demon rats are just that bad. And, but, you know.
Well, let me tell you, let me comment real quick here. There was, I don't know if it was on Steve Bannon's show or which one, I can't remember where, but it was saying something about, and of course to do with all this RNC stuff. It's like, here's the problem, okay? The Democrats, they're coming at you head on. They're gunning for you. They're standing in front of you doing it. You can see it. You see them coming. They're coming at you. It's right in front of you. But with the Republicans, they're coming and stabbing you in the back. It's like, what? And I mean, I've made a similar comment in the past. It's like, what is it? I don't understand. Do you feel better if you're killed from behind because you didn't see it? The Republicans destroy you, stab you in the back, and kill you from behind. Somehow that is better than watching your enemy come right into your face and kill you head on. Because that's kind of, to me, it sounds kind of sick saying it that way. But
yeah, Republicans make Perseus Albion look loyal. I mean, they really are, you know. But look.
Well, and let's go back one more thing on this, because to me it's so critical to understand. First off, people need to remember the public, the Democrat and the Republican Party, they are private entities, okay? They are not public entities. They are privately owned, funded, all their own organization, associations. And the thing is that they don't care about anybody. They're out there doing their own thing. People have to understand that they are their own organization. They really don't care. The thing is, this is where you want to talk who's smarter, who's dumber, whatever else. The Democrats, for years, have taken over the Republican Party. This is where, because we don't do our homework, we don't vet the candidates like we should, we go out there and how many people, not me, but many people, vote for whatever has an R next to it. Somehow that's going to be the magic pill, vote for the R. It's like, but do you not understand that was a Democrat? They ran as a Republican because they knew what to say. They said all the right things. Because they wanted to take over the Republican Party. How do you take over the Republican Party? It's almost like, well, if we could find a few Republicans, which I don't know where those are at these days, constitutionalists is what I would like to find, if we could find some of them who would run as Democrats and go out there and play the same game, oh, yeah, sure, we believe everybody should get a free phone. We believe, you know, whatever, all the insanity of what the Democrat Party is out there doing. Go along and say that. Get elected, but then you really are a constitutionalist. I'm going to say that more than I am a Republican. Then you actually can start to have some leverage, because that's what the Democrats have done to the Republican Party. And I had people, when I ran for office in Orange County, I had people tell me, if you run as a Democrat, you'll get elected. Just change your party affiliation and you'll get elected. And that was the mentality. It's like, okay, well, of course, I didn't do that, and shortly after that, I left the Republican Party because of the games they played. But that's what's happened to the Republican Party as I see it. The Democrats were smart enough to run as Republicans because they know voters go vote for a nut, for a letter, they vote for an R, they don't know what the person does, and then when they do this, and they're all surprised.
I understand where you're coming from. You're absolutely right about that, but this kind of a constitutional conundrum. With regard to the fact that, yes, there is no recognition for political parties in the Constitution, and that is true, but there is a First Amendment right of free association, you have the right to associate with others and to petition the government for redress of grievances and to ally yourself with others while you do so. There's also nothing in the Constitution to prevent an informal alliance, or a non-governmental alliance, such as a political party, from coming together and mustering this strength collectively. So it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a dynamic, this tension between the two, the right of free association, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances, the right to seek electoral office under the privileges and immunities clauses and all that other stuff. So, I mean, it's, you know, I guess the whole idea was to make what the original framing idea was to make people aware of the depredations of political parties and the hope that people wouldn't go into them. I guess that was a forlorn hope. It is what we got today because, in part, because of our liberties.
Let me ask a couple of questions here. One of them is a history question, so I'm sure you're going to get it right off the top. And the other one is really just is an opinion. Want your opinion. Okay, first off, what did George Washington tell us and warn us about associations? And then the other question will be, what do you really think we should be having all these caucuses? I don't think there's an American caucus. They have one they call the Freedom Caucus, but is there a white person's caucus? I know there's Asian and Hispanic and Latino and Black and German. I guess, I don't know. I mean, they have every kind of caucus in Washington, D.C. Aren't they supposed to represent all of us? Why do we have all these caucuses? Because I think that ties into this association thing. But more importantly is, what did Washington warn us about associations?
Well, he warned us, certainly warned us about entangling alliances and to beware of them. And I would imagine that he told us that there are no permanent alliances, permanent friends, or permanent enemies.
He, in his farewell address, he made reference to political parties will divide you. Associations and factions, which a political party is an association or a faction, whichever way you choose. But the associations and factions will usurp the will of the people for the will of a party. They will come together to form forces that will take over and usurp the will of a nation. That they're going to, the whole purpose is for them to conquer and divide and conquer. And that's the thing. And when I see what Washington said, because he was a no party affiliate, that was before the party started, he warned us against political parties, but he also tied in associations and factions. When you go out, if we're not going to be Americans, we are already divided. United we stand, divided we fall. It's really not rocket science. But he really very much warned us that political parties would divide us, and I see it right now. I think it's perfect.
Well, you know another thing, too, that really disturbed me, and I'm going to get kind of use some Karine Jean-Pierre lingo, you know, top of mind, plus, you know.
Okay.
And look, you know, which I hate to do because she's such a moron. Jesus Christ. But anyway, it's amazing to me how they can actually take things that are worthy of examination, serious issues, and actually use them to a degree, whether inadvertent or advertent, to distract us from things that are far more serious, like what's going on in Memphis right now. Now, normally,
yeah,
that's a serious issue, but basically you look at it, it's pretty much an open and shut case. I mean, as far as these individual police officers go, I mean, clearly what they did was beyond the bounds of what police officers expect to do when effecting arrest, to say nothing of their incredible tactical ineptness and their unbelievable, you know, almost madcap, insane rage rather than professional calculation in effecting an arrest. I mean, it was the Keystone Cops on steroids, literally on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Roid rage, I think we might have been looking at to some extent. And, you know, and yes, it deserves to be looked at and examined. It's a very serious issue. We have this sort of police conduct without even apparent effective supervision. But look at what it's distracting us from right now. Distracting us from, did you see that video with that Pfizer exec, that Jonathan, whatever his name is? I should have been Jonathan Harker, really. But this guy, I mean, he's caught on tape by Project Veritas speaking about evolutionarily directed vaccines. Now, not gain of function because, you know, it's got a bad connotation. But now it's evolutionarily directed viruses by Pfizer. And he's bragging about it, his role in it, and how Pfizer's going to cash in on it. And then when he's caught in the act and, you know, James O'Rourke comes up to him, and Peter O'Keefe, James O'Keefe, wants to ask him about what has just ensued and what he's just said. Now, I expect him to be surprised and shocked, which of course he was. But he went berserk. I mean, it was, you know, not only was the interview, now you got two separate things. You got the interview itself, which was appalling and horrific, delivered by a flaming fruitcake in the most unself-aware manner imaginable. He's speaking literally of evil machinations in the most cheerfully effeminate, flaming fruitcake imaginable. It's really both horrifying and appalling, you know, and entertaining at the same time. And then you've got him, he being confronted with O'Keefe. He goes berserk. He's talking about he always lies. He was just lying. He was just lying to impress his date like any normal man, notwithstanding the fact that, in my opinion, a normal man does not date another man romantically. But he said that's the reason he's doing it. And then he goes on when he gets the restaurant owners to lock him in the restaurant, lock the camera crew in the restaurant. He's calling the police, and he's telling the police that he's uncomfortable with these white people whom he has caused to be locked in the restaurant with him. And he wants them to come and help him because these white people are threatening him. And then he effectually grabbed the laptop and the security guards and knocked him ass over the teakettle. I mean, it was, look, yes, it is all appalling and horrifying, but it's one of the most hugely entertaining things I have seen in my life. I could not stop laughing despite the fact I know it's horrible. You kind of like the spec. Seeing your villains, you know, when you think of a classical villain, of course you think of the Bond villains, but in real life you think of a villain like, okay, a guy and that kind of horrifically, potentially genocidal scale, you think somebody like, I don't know, Reinhard Heydrich of the Sicherheitsdienst, right? You know, the SD guy, the guy who chaired the Final Solution, the Von Fate Conference. What was he? He was cold, calculating, ruthless, cultured. He played the piano and the cello and the violin. He was a master Olympic-level fencer. He was a fighter-bomber pilot. He'd been decorated for doing that before, you know, when the war in Poland broke out. He had elegantly tailored uniforms with the Jack Boot and Sam Brown belt. You think this is a villain, right? This guy is a real villain. Instead, look what we got now. We got this simpering lout, this guy talking about what they're doing, engineering a disease that could potentially kill millions and not billions of people when by making it more virulent. You know, and he's talking about it like it's some sort of simpering Sunday morning exercise. It was really startling. Listen, but this is even more disarming than a Reinhard Heydrich. You can see that guy's a villain. What are you going to say about this guy, this fruitcake?
I mean, what are you saying about him? Nothing. I haven't heard Pfizer say anything.
No, they're not. They're not. They're disappointed. They got no comment, nothing to say. They haven't said they fired him. Really. You know they told him to keep his big mouth shut about this kind of thing. And you know they had to violate everything they ever told the guy to say. I mean, it's amazing to think that this is going on that way. But look, it's not only that. It's the ever-expanding exposure of this titanic level of Brandon family corruption and effective treason. Even if it's not quite the constitutional definition of it, it's really effectively treason if everything is true, and I'm certain it is. You got the border crisis keeps getting worse. You got the ESG and the World Economic Forum and the diabolical scheme and the potential World War III in Ukraine. They even include nuclear exchanges. But we got the Memphis thing to talk about, as though that's going to be fixed anytime soon. As long as Democrats keep getting elected to be running big cities. It ain't about to change. It's going to be the same old thing. The police chief can't even take responsibility for the organization she created, and she's responsible for seeing that it's effectively supervised and trained. I heard nothing of that. I only heard of pandering to the crowd like Benjamin Crump would. And she's going to be the police chief. Well, I got no responsibility, though, not really. I couldn't believe, and you know, the Scorpion, it was her brainchild. It was her, she instituted it when she came there from Atlanta. She got fired from Atlanta for apparently covering up a sexual abuse complaint by one of her colleagues' husband, you know, with an underage girl and pornography. She got fired. She sued. She got a job back. She got a job back. She realized she had no future in the Atlanta Police Department, so she got found this pandering mayor out there in Memphis who appointed her to the job. What's the same kind of routine? It's not earth-shaking. It's not. The only thing earth-shaking about it, Sally, is that as we speak today, on January 30th, 2023, there are hundreds and thousands of black people alive today who are not going to be alive in the upcoming weeks and months when the police pull back like they do when they wake every one of these things, when they don't police as hard or as extensively as they do during normal times. As a result, these predators, these recidivist felons, these violent ones are going to kill hundreds and thousands more black people than otherwise would be killed. That's the only real effective outcome of this that's going to happen. Oh, and by the way, your federal government is now going to see what unconstitutional measures they can take with regard to local policing. Ma'am Jane.
Yeah, well, they're going to try to make a national federal police force. I mean, that's what I kind of keep thinking. But you're totally right. I mean, who wants to be a cop anymore? And look what's happened to it. What's happened to the profession across the board. It's very sad. It's very sad what has happened. This culture, and we have to accept the fact that, I mean, the attack on this culture has been very successful.
Memphis Police Department hired one of these officers they hired. Again, local corruption, demon rat corruption, big city corruption. This is a constant. They hire a guy who is a corrections officer who has an unresolved lawsuit against him for excessive use of force. Again, if the guy's acquitted and cleared of it, he ought to be eligible to be hired any way he wants to apply for, assuming he meets all the qualifications and all that. But this is still unresolved. The lawsuit against him for use of excessive force as a corrections officer is not yet resolved, and they hired him.
Let me mention something real quick here. Nathan had called back in. Nathan, if you're still there, you can still, if you want to chime in on the last minute here, feel free to do so. I saw you out there, but I see it looks like you're gone now. And just for correction, somebody had pinged something out in the chat saying, Nathan didn't say he wouldn't vote for Trump. He said he wouldn't vote for a Republican. So I'm kind of putting the two things together.
He did say he wouldn't vote for a Republican, but you know, Trump did say he's a Republican. even though he is less like any Republican president I can think in recent memory. You know, I mean, that's why they hate him so much.
Well, there's no two ways about that. That's why I said if Trump is on the ballot, I will be out there voting for him. But I really want him to change some of his other discussion. I wanted to go ahead and just mention this real quick. I don't know if Solutions is still listening, but there was something else, the FAA and the vaccinated pilots. I'm trying to find out more about this, but it makes it sound like the FAA changed some of their standards for healthcare when it came to vaccinated pilots, right? I think everybody better be looking to see what's going on. If you're getting on a flight anywhere, you might want to find out if the pilots have been vaccinated. If only one of them has been vaccinated, at least you got maybe one person who will be okay if something happens. But if they're both vaccinated, I'm not sure I'd get on that plane. And I put a little comment out there, so I don't know if Solutions is still there and listening. I'd be kind of curious what your thought on that is, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Sarge, but this was something, and we're getting close to running out of time. Solution, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, hi. Hey, Sarge, how are you, sir? You said that only one pilot on the plane is vaccinated. Was that it?
No, there's something that recently came out about the FAA and vaccinated pilots. Somehow they're like lowering the standards of some of the healthcare in order to allow the vaccinated pilots to fly. There's been a concern about what's going to happen with these vaccinated. And I myself, I'm saying if I was getting on a flight right now, I might want to ask, are those pilots vaccinated? Would I be comfortable if both of them are vaccinated? What is the risk? And there's actually been something out there, and I have it on the show page out there. A spokesperson for the Federal Aviation Administration and USA Today, the agency relaxed electrocardiogram parameters because of new information provided by cardiologist consultants. The change had nothing to do with COVID-19 vaccines.
Right. I'm going to beg off on that. I don't have a comment. I would have to look into it. But one thing I would like to ask you, do you think there were some untoward behavior or shenanigans going on with respect to the Trump-Biden election? Do you think Trump was potentially cheated out of the presidency?
Personally, I myself have no doubt that the election was corrupted. And this, just going back to the most basic, when, and I have some people who have the snapshot. I don't have the picture of it myself. But when, you know, they have all these numbers on the CNN and Fox and whoever, they have tallies out there all the time. You're seeing all these tallies. And at one point, Trump had 1 million, whatever the count was, on how many votes he had. He had more than Biden. And then, like, they literally saw it flip where he had less votes. So how do you lose votes in an election? Trump had this many votes and is climbing, and all of a sudden he loses votes and he has less. So that to me seems pretty obvious by itself that something wasn't right. And then, of course, we go through the various things, what happened with these the different states, Arizona, the problem that they've had with Carrie Lake's and her election now where the 19-inch ballot was put on a 20-inch piece of paper, and of course it wasn't going to read right through the machines. This is the third election they've had this problem. I think they said third, so obviously there's major problems with what we've seen in Arizona. The states that changed their laws, in illegally changing laws on the elections, and COVID was the one that triggered it all with everything else going on. So yes, 2020 was definitely probably the most corrupt election we've ever had. There's been election fraud everywhere. I mean, that's, like I said, the Battle of Athens, 1947. But he definitely had the election stolen from him, definitely.
Hey,
I'm
a basic person. You guys are a lot sharper than me on politics. I don't get into that too much. But I will throw this at you. Something like two-thirds of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And over 50% of Americans cannot meet a $400 obligation. They would either have to borrow or, you know, borrow it from their 401ks if they still have one, or family of friends. And I think that's just a terrible commentary on the way our economy has gone. And I think, you know, they say people vote vis-a-vis their pocketbook, and I think that's just, it's horrible. And it seems as though it's getting worse. It seems as though that whole scenario is getting worse, and I don't know where it will lead us, but it doesn't appear that it will be a good place. What do you think?
I'll go chime in here quickly and then let Sarge chime in too. And Karen, if you're still out there listening.
I'll just listen. Thank you very much. I appreciate your program. I'll listen.
Okay. Yep, well, just as an FYI, if you're listening on the internet, it's going to drop in a couple of minutes here, but we're going to continue to talk on the show, and you can listen to that part afterwards if you would like to. So anyway, what has happened to us? There is this total destruction of this country. Everything that Biden has done, which depending on who is the puppet behind the scene, whether it be Obama or whoever else, has all been to destroy this country. Everything they did with the energy policy and, of course, the border, the invasion, and then go along with the COVID stuff, what they kept continuing to promote. They are trying to destroy our country. And it's up to the American people to say, no, we're not going to do it. And the fascism, This is something public-private partnerships, which I did actually list on the show page today, is a major part of the problem. People need to understand you cannot have a private sector if it's all in collusion with the government. And I've had many shows, including Karen as well, talking about this very topic in the past. Public-private partnerships are the collusion of government and the private sector. And once government becomes a partner to the private sector, you have the woke corporations we see out there today, the ESG games. Now the corporations do the work for the government that when they're trying to take over. So we are in very, very bad shape in many respects. It's really terrible. And, you know, I'll throw this out there and then again let Sarge take over. This was all because the election of 2016. This is my own personal opinion. I don't have any the data that I could truly say this, but in my opinion, the 2016 election was also rigged, except they didn't do the math right. They never thought Trump could win by as much as he did. So what they did with the Dominion machines and how they were changing out the votes along the way, switching the votes and stuff like that, those things they never imagined that he would win by the margin he did, and he totally threw off their plan. Everybody that knows anything about Hillary Clinton and Obama, the Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, that was their Bible, or that is their Bible. They don't believe in a free society. They want to take it down. They want the New World Order, the Great Reset, One World Government, whatever you want to call it, Agenda 21 stuff. And it was all in line for Hillary to get it. And that because they already had the corruption in place, the fraud, the election fraud in place, she just couldn't understand why she didn't win. I had to win. I had to. We had it all rigged. I mean, I had to win. So she was totally convinced she won the election. And because she had all these things set up, but Trump won by way too much. And so now that Trump is there, he derailed the Great Reset stuff that they were doing. He called attention. He made us energy efficient, sufficient, independent, I should say. He did all those things and was totally turning around it, took care of the immigration stuff, peace in the Middle East kind of thing. All the things he was doing, including moving the embassy to Jerusalem, all these things he did was totally opposite of what Hillary would have done. So they could not allow him to get reelected. He was doing everything, bringing back our country, making it stronger, doing it all. He was doing all the right things, and they couldn't take it. They could not allow him to do that again. So here comes COVID, which if you go out there, Event 201, the plan was there. There's going to be a coronavirus. It's going to be a worldwide pandemic, and the governments will have to come together. It's all out there. There is nothing unplanned here. The fact of the matter is Trump derailed Hillary Clinton and their plan, and this is where we are at today. This is my take as to what has happened to our country. And if people don't refuse to comply, if people go along with it, drink the Fauci Kool-Aid, et cetera, we won't have a country much longer as I see it. Now, Sarge, I'm going to let you comment on that, and then I'm going to get Karen to comment on that, and we will wrap it up.
Well, I'll wrap it up real quickly in view of that deadline. Look, while I completely accept the findings of Dinesh D'Souza and 2000 Mules, and I believe that there were certainly improprieties committed with the Dominion machines and all the other mechanical means to steal an election, what I think is hiding in plain sight and maybe even more significant, and of course much easier to prove, because after all, you got to get the stuff in a court in order to prove it, especially with the machines and the 2000 Mules, but the Constitution is clear on who determines election law. It is state legislators. It is unequivocal and stated very clearly. We had the second highest court in Pennsylvania rule that the Pennsylvania legislature violated its state constitution when they changed the method of mail-in balloting and ballot collecting. The second highest court in Pennsylvania rules. The highest court in Wisconsin ruled that drop boxes were illegal and unconstitutional under Wisconsin law. We know that the margin of victory for Joe Biden was not whatever mythical number they made up, that we're supposed to believe he got more votes than any president in history campaigning from his basement. more than Nixon proportionally, or more than Obama, or more than Trump, who increased his legitimate vote total by 11 million votes, unheard of for an incumbent president to lose the election, much less when he gets that many more votes. But still, what we have a clear case of is that state legislators violated the Constitution, and that margin of votes, 55,000 votes, was in five states. 55,000 votes caused the electoral shift to Joe Biden. It was easy to illicitly harvest and collect the necessary ballots, not keep the requisite chain of custody, according to the election laws of all these states, and that's how they did it. They did it with ballot harvesting, I believe, mainly. Illicit and illegal ballot harvesting. They didn't count votes. They counted ballots. And that's how they did it.
Absolutely. And also, in the same note, kind of go
Georgia,
back to the fact that...
One more thing. They changed the laws illegally in Georgia, too. Rassenberger and Kemp got together with Stacey Abrams and her crew to change the election laws without the state legislator co-signing onto it.
Yeah, and everything to do with taking Trump down has caused the financial harm to every American. What you know, it's just you take the whole thing. He had turned everything around, and we were going in this other direction. Biden came in, wiped out most of what he was doing, and has taken us down the down a very, very sad road. They are truly destroying us. We're sitting here watching our country be destroyed, with very little options of what we can do. And except to not comply, not to go along with, and that's what I have to do. I have to, and of course, I do my best to contact and deal with locals on things that are happening, like when we see a group of illegals here locally, and then when contacting my state and federal representatives as well. Sometimes they respond, sometimes they don't. To a certain degree, it's very frustrating because I know the majority of people are very much in line with what I'm saying, what we believe this country is about. But we have this element out there that is money, greed, whatever else, has taken so much control, and they're destroying. It's the most basic when it comes to it's kind of, I compare it a lot to the Planned Parenthood, which might sound a little bit crazy, but it's they're acting like they want to help these people, but in fact they're trying to destroy them. And of course, that's what Planned Parenthood was all about. It was destroying the black community, destroying the lower income, and definitely trying to eliminate the black community. It was so disgusting. And this is what's happening, and yet, unfortunately, as Karen will be the first to say, education has been the problem. As my favorite, one of my favorite quotes, Jefferson, if you expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and will never be. We've become an extremely ignorant nation. Public education was supposed to move people up and make us better, but it was used as a weapon against us. It really was. And that is why, which I forgot to put on my show today. Well, I'm going to get this out there. That is why my motto is, I love my country. It's the government I'm afraid of. And keep in mind, here in Jackson County, Florida, I was escorted out of a building for wearing a T-shirt that said that. That should scare every one of you. Now, Karen, I'm going to ask you to hold on 1 minute because Nathan has popped on a couple of times. Let me go ahead and give Nathan his final shout-out there, and then I will go to you, Karen, and we will wrap it up. It's a good show. What can I say?
I thank you, Sarge, for talking me down off the ledge. Hey, listen, you mentioned something earlier with Alan Keyes, and I seen this with Ross Limbaugh, Ross Perot. It's like they were people in on the right side. They came in, and it was like everybody's excited about them, and then they fall out. And it was like we lost them, so we got to stick together to beat the Democrats. That seems to be what, I don't know if it's purposed, but something I saw in the 2016, we got the Barna Group. They were telling us which leaders the Christian community was trying to vote, and how their scales were real big, and they were looking good. And I called, and I don't know what her relation was, but her last name was Barna, and I was explaining something I'm seeing, and I gave her the documents. I said, I can send them to you if you give me an email. And she goes, no. And I was explaining what you guys are saying is not true. You're saying we like this guy here, the church community likes this guy. And she just hung up on me. I thought we got hung up. Whenever I called back, it says some kind of a recording. I was like, okay, she hung up on me, so I just left it alone. But in the 2020, the second one, here's what we got. Trump had 88.7 million Twitter followers, and I know some of those, a good part of those are just people gathering information, keeping up, you know, snooping. Okay, but Biden had 8.3 million and didn't come out of his basement, as they said. And then when he did show up, the only audience he had was his security was standing there. And you know, that there is a measure. That is a measure of, here's something about Trump. And now let me say back. In 2016, I voted for him. I vote for a Republican if he's a citizen candidate. I don't vote for the politicians, but I voted for him. But in the 2020, I couldn't vote for him because I got sick on my stomach with Mike Pence standing out in front of the pro-life people, and he's got an abortion policy, and he sponsored a bill. If you want to see some of his policies, and they'll pay you money, go to prolifeprofiles.com, and they will pay you money because they've documented the record on him. But on the second one, I didn't vote for him because of that. I would vote for Trump, but I can't vote for Pence. And he proved again, he let us down. And again, we don't know the Constitution. Everybody's hurt because he let us down because he didn't certify the election the way we think it should have been. But he doesn't certify the election. The Congress certifies the presidential election and certifies it, and the Senate on the vice president, they count the votes, and it's not two candidates. It's what, however many candidates, there could be 20 candidates, and the one with the most numbers wins. And if there's a tie, the body. And when you say Pence should be the one that certified that election, you're saying one man has more authority than three branches and all the people's votes. So we got to read the Constitution out loud and real slow and let our ears hear what it is it says. But can I say something, Sally, about what I was telling you earlier before the show?
Only if you can make it really quick.
I'll make it real fast. Sarge, I just saw a thing about a Navy SEAL that went in, you know, back whenever Biden took over and all the crap in Afghanistan, and we were a little, wow, man, we were leaving a lot of people out. One Navy SEAL decided he wanted to go in the Navy. A commander gave him one guy. They went in because he wanted to get this one guy that saved his life several times when he was in Afghanistan and help his family get out. Well, he goes and he gets them out, and this other guy says, well, what about these orphans here? And next thing you know, they got another country over there is working with them, giving them planes to get people out of there. And what ended up being six people ended up being in the thousands. If you go to Focus on the Family broadcast, and then you'll just see it. It says, what was it? The warrior. Let me look. I got it right here. The Heart of a Warrior was the name of the show. I'm not trying to get you to go hear his religious testimony, but what I want you to listen to is the numbers. And this came back to my mind when I was listening to it. There's a guy, a Navy SEAL. He was out of the Navy, got him a job working in a financial firm, and back when Katrina hit, and this guy got one other veteran with him. They got buses and went down, and they got on boats and went out, and they evacuated over 900 people. And this is what I'm saying. They got them out of there. And meanwhile, we're looking at the news seeing some guy say Bush hates black people, you know. But here's what I was telling Sally. When this stuff falls apart, don't look to the rednecks. Look to the veterans. They're going to be the ones that's going to get us through it. Whenever. But what this guy did, man, this guy did something on his own, and people in his community supported him. and with all kinds of resources, but he did something that should have been the commander-in-chief executing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? This guy knows the Constitution, and he knows that that has more authority than the leader that's not living by it. So God bless America, you know?
Yep.
But
there's one thing I would like to say in response to what you said about Mike Pence's role in the electoral count. I agree with you that one man cannot hold up the election of a president through the Electoral College. But what I don't think Mike Pence's role under the Constitution is purely ministerial. I think what he could have done, since there were 100 objections from congressmen to the certification of the count in the various states, what he could have done was to hold up the election, institute a commission like they did in the 1876 election when there was an actual change in the electoral count between Rutherford and Hayes, and resolve it with the commission to investigate what may or may not be right with the electoral count. I think that's what he could have done, and that's what he failed to do.
Well, but what I'm saying is the thing
you
that
we're
missing
is... You know, the Constitution allows for objections, and when the objections are made, it's supposed to be examined. It only takes one from the House and one from the Senate.
But whenever he said, no, that's it, and everybody dropped it, well, it settled. Well, the one man's got more authority than three branches and all the people. Here's what I'm reading, only the document, the 12th Amendment. It says... The presidential race is settled, counted, and certified by the Congress, the House, and then the same thing happens in another election. And I guess people with the Senate for the vice president, they're two separate elections. The word used in the Constitution is distinct, and it's repeated several times. And but the thing is in the emotion at the last minute, everybody's giving opinions, and anybody that might have something that's kind of close to what the way it is, they're not heard because there's so many different voices that make sense, or somebody don't like it because it don't make sense to them. But, you know, the thing is, we really do need to forget everything we know and read only the words in the document and then think about them and I'm gonna tell you, this thing really woke me up on this guy. And here's the other thing: when you see his name, he's a MMA. When he was mentioned in his testimony, he was an MMA, and I went and typed in his name in MMA. Man, I'm gonna tell you what: he's 5'3" and about 150 pounds, 143 pounds. Man, I'm gonna tell you what, you run into that guy in a parking lot thinking I'm gonna take his lunch money away, you're gonna get your heart broke, man. You're gonna get disappointed. He is one tough dude. He's up at the top. Go check him out. But what I'm saying is, man, in both of these cases,
a real hero. The
Clint Bruce, the guy in Katrina. It's like nobody heard about that, and yet he went in there with one other guy. And they evacuated. They got boats and kept taking them back to the bus. And then when they got filled up, moved them to safety. And it's like, and kept them going, man. And you know, when you see that, it's like, that's why I say, when this stuff falls apart, don't look to the rednecks. Look to the veterans. They're the ones that's going to get us through it. Whenever there is no communication, when there is, what do we do? What's going on? And that's where God's going to bless America, you know.
Amen.
The true heroes.
Yeah, you're right. And I hope others will join them.
Oh, yes. Yes. With the strong leaders, people can follow. It's a difference to make a decision on what you believe in, and that's where you support. Don't be a sheeple to just, you know, take the jab because Fauci says it or whatever. You use the brain God gave you. See what's going on. If you believe America's worth saving, take action to save it. It's up to us. It truly is up to we the people. And I guess with that being said, I want to throw out there the media. We haven't talked about the media. We're not going to get into a big discussion, but, you know, that was one thing when it came to COVID. The media is the virus. The media is truly an enemy of the state. And we have to reject the mainstream. Even Fox News is disgusting in most ways.
Yeah.
But so you got to go out there and take the time to learn what's going on. Don't take any one source of information. And, you know, I try to put links out there for people to go to what I was reading, find out. If you got something different, share it. But we cannot allow ourselves to be brainwashed, and we got to stop the propaganda of news. There used to be, excuse me, I don't know if it's still out there, I want to say it was the FCC 933, I believe is what the number was. I would have to go look. But the news media, to be classified as a news outlet or news media type thing, you have to serve the public interest. And, you know, someone said, well, that's kind of a vague thing. Well, lying and hiding the truth is not serving the public interest. Going out there promoting propaganda and the censorship stuff is not serving the public interest. So if I could find somebody who really knew what, you know, truly we have many cases against the news media based on FCC regs. If you're going to be classified as a news source, freedom of the press, if you're going to get all the rights of freedom of the press, then you're supposed to serve the public interest, and they don't do it. The media is the virus. Anything real quick, Nathan, then I need to go to Karen to let her chime in here.
Yeah. All I'm going to say is, you know, God bless America, and the best thing to do is stick to those closest to you. Be committed to them first. And at the end of the day, when you run into other people, you can step out, step over, take care of those closest to you first. And we're going to get this country back, hopefully, by God's grace. It's got to happen that way, or it's not going to happen. But I just think that we need to read the Constitution and forget what we've been taught. Some of that stuff's true. But anyway, I love America. I'll talk to you guys later.
Amen.
And Nathan,
okay.
read the Electoral Count Act, too, while you're at it.
We're going to have a show on the Electoral College, not now.
The Electoral Count Act. Read it, because it does allow for what they did in 1876.
Yeah, but here's the thing you got to remember. We got a Federalist paper, and the Anti-Federalist and the Federalist, both in the both sides of it, they both make it clear what it is. And I don't mess with the history, because you can read history and know that more than what the document says. But this here clears it up. It clears it up. The Anti and the Federalist paper, both sides debating against it, which is the same guy. It was only propaganda in the newspaper to win people's minds, kind of like Mitt Romney and Pierre Delecto. If you were listening to his debate, even if you don't like Mitt Romney, you would have to say, I'm with Romney on this here. And that's what that was. And that's what the Federalist and the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist back and forth debate is consistent with. It is citizen candidates voting for one of their own, and there's no links to any parties or anything. Get a chance, read it. But anyway, I appreciate you guys. Y'all keep making people think, because that really is the game. That is the fight.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Nathan. Have a good evening and good conversation, good information. Let's see. Thanks. And we will have that show on the Electoral College, I promise. Okay, Karen. Sorry, Karen, it's taking a while to get back to you. Oh, please feel free to chime in on anything that's been discussed.
It's wonderful to hear from other people and to get their ideas and be able to incorporate them excuse me, in what we're doing. Because that is what America is all about. And, you know, I've been listening, and I think Nathan is absolutely 100% correct. But Nathan, before they can read the Constitution, they have to learn to read, and that's another big problem. But I think the Constitution should be read to Congress, because I think half of them haven't read it. And
amen.
That's the other point. We look at these people and we think they're like us, and they're not. They are communists. They have no morality. They would slice off your head and don't care. And they have done that with COVID. They don't care. Their real goal is to use us as guinea pigs so that they can chart our data as we use the keyboard and be able to transfer it to their AI, which is what they're all about. They feel that with AI they will have eternal life, which is what they all want. These people are not like us. They have no morality. They don't care about America. They don't care about us. They don't care about the guy on the street living in the homeless tent. They don't care. And they don't care if America falls apart, because they've got 9 houses in all different countries, and each one is more magnificent than the other. So if the one in America burns down, who cares? And besides, it's just insurance. So it shouldn't make any difference anyway. Well, of course it makes a difference, and whose insurance rates go up. So everything that they do affects something else and makes it harder for us to survive unless we stop paying them. And that's really what we have to do, giving them your money. Pay attention to where you're buying, where it comes from. They call, the Chinese call the, what they have done to the American government is called elite capture. They have captured our, quote, ruling class of globalists, and they have turned them into communists who follow the bidding of the Communist Party. And it's too bad if nobody wants to hear that, but it happens to be the truth. The Communist Party is, in essence, running a lot of American government. When the CCP tells the FBI not to go after something because it may look bad for the Communist Party, and the FBI does it, you tell me who's running who. We have very serious problems here, and they are only going to be fixed if we read the Constitution. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't follow it. They're not interested in it. And besides, it's a living, breathing document that is not even taught in college anymore. Not even taught in law school. Case law is taught, not constitutional law. So how do we expect our attorneys to know constitutional law if they have never been taught constitutional law? And that's being done on purpose. All of these things are diminishing who we are. And we have it in our power to shut down their power. And that's what we have to do. And I'm very much into solutions this year. And withholding money, also called boycott, also called cancel culture, is what we need to be doing. They do it to us all the time. How many products have been canceled? Whether it's canceled because of the EPA, or it's canceled because of the FDA, or it's canceled because of cancel culture. It doesn't matter. Changing the names of ball teams, of sport teams, changing their names being offensive. Give me a break. They don't care. All they're doing is pushing our buttons to see if we will comply. And as we are complying, they're doing something else more dangerous, like starting a nuclear war in Ukraine. We need to hold our elected officials accountable. We need to be on speed dial with them. And that was the secret of the Tea Party. We annoyed them so much that they had to listen. But look at how much further ahead we are. We actually have members of the House of Representatives that represent the people. Isn't that a shock?
Yes.
They're actually doing their job. And guess what? They just got a $35,000 raise for doing their job. I don't know. Did you get a $35,000 raise? Because I guess
I wish.
What did we get? Social Security? 8.7%, which comes to roughly on the high end about $140 a month, and on the low end, $8.07.
Isn't that special?
Yes, but my representative, who doesn't talk to me, just got a $35,000 raise. You see the way that works, folks? Did you know they were getting a raise? Yeah, she did that all by herself. That was her parting gift. So we have a lot of work we can do, and I hope everybody agrees that we must make 23 the year of action. Having knowledge without acting upon it is like not having knowledge. So we have the knowledge. We know what to do. We know what they're going to do. We have to think opposite. Whatever they say they're going to do, think of what is the worst thing that somebody could do, and that's what they're going to do. Banning gas stoves, really. Giving you electric vehicles that do not have electricity because the power grid doesn't work. Getting rid of fossil fuels, which is in some way part of 90% of all of the products that we use in America, which, by the way, the majority of them now come from China. So we got a lot of work to do. And I don't think we should be quibbling over pronouns. I'd be happy if our kids could read the pronouns.
Well, I'd be happy if they knew the difference between a boy and a girl and a man and a woman, you know. That'd
You're
be kind of nice too. Natural law.
A boy can outrun a girl.
Anyway, that is my 2 cents, and it was a great show, a great conversation. And like I said, it's up to us. The only ones that can fix anything is us, and we have to show them the back door. And when they push us, we have to push back. We can't let them completely do this. Like you said, why don't we have a white caucus? Why don't we have an American caucus? You know, why don't we have white
exactly.
Hey, Sally, are we the only three on the show now? Are we the only ones on the phone?
No, we've got a couple other people else. I think Sarge is still there. Yeah, so as far as who's actively talking, we have other people out there listening. But the
Okay, good. I just wondered.
Yeah. Karen, make sure you let everybody know about your show, too. More info there.
Yes. For a continuation, we're going to be talking the climate and how they're lying to us about CO2. By the way, don't drink Coke because it's filled with poison.
I'm drinking a Coke now.
How did that happen? But it is carbonated with the CO2, and they're telling us that CO2 is bad and poison. So how come they're selling Coca-Cola? We have to stop them from doing that. We have to cancel Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola and all the other carbonated drinks. How dare you? Imagine you have all that CO2. As the soda gets warm, all that CO2 goes into the atmosphere. How many cans of CO2-ridden sodas do you think are opened in any given day?
Good. We need to cut to the chase and just cancel all carbon-based life forms. That's what I say.
Boy, cut it off. Go for it.
Everything got
to
go. All of it.
job.
We'll be happy then.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, any last wrap up here? Where I wasn't planning on quite going this late tonight, but this was a very
good
night.
All.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, everyone. This was an excellent discussion, and we're going to continue them on. And remember, next week, Sarge, you're going to be there, the Battle of Athens, and it's all about election fraud, 1947. It was happening then. They robbed the ballot box, and we got it back. So please make sure
you tune in. That's what they did about it. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That how we saved, how they, and they, I believe most of them were veterans too, if I'm remembering it correctly, veterans who got the ballot box back. They would not allow them
World
to
steal. Mainly combat veterans. They weren't putting up with it. That's all it was doing.
Yep, exactly. So anyway, very good show next week. And go out there if you can get the book to read it. And it was the Fighting Bunch.
That's the book.
If you can get it. Yep. If you can get it in time. I'm going to see if I can find anything online because, to be honest, I haven't had a chance to get the book myself. But there's definitely different articles. There's a history. There's a movie thing online. So you can go and find out what it's all about. So when we're talking about that, and just think, this is how they saved their election.
The movie was a Hallmark made-for-TV movie called An American Story. That was made in the 90s. And then this book, you can get it at Amazon if you want to get it quickly. They will get it to you quickly. So it's available on Amazon.
Okay, good. Okay. And what was the name of the video, the movie?
The movie is An American Story. I think it started an actor named Brad. I think can't think of his last name. His first name was Brad. He was the main star in the movie.
Okay.
And
yeah. So if you know nothing about the history of the Battle of Athens, go out there and do a little bit of research, learn something about it before we have the show next week, and then tune in, and we're going to really talk about it, and then put it in context with what's going on today. The technology is different. You know, how we have to take back our ballot box. It's going to be a little bit different that way, but we have to do it. And, you know, if anyone knows Mike Lindell, tell him to call because he had to listen to this one too. He's out there helping us try to take back the ballot box.
Yeah.
He could
I just bought another MyPillow yesterday. I really like that guy. Sometimes like he's maybe got a quixotic ambition, but somebody's got to do it, and thank God he won't quit.
Yeah.
He will not quit. That man is not going to quit until this thing is resolved one way or another.
Exactly. He's another patriot, and he's another he's a true American success story, and a person who's down with his – abused drugs in his earlier years. He turned his life around, and he is a true patriot, and we need to support him as much as we can. So, absolutely. Okay, well, that's it for tonight. Again, excellent discussion. I hope you got a lot out of it. Please take action. Like Karen was saying, it's up to us. We cannot depend on those in public office to save this country. We are the ones who have to do it. And I think we can. I think we can. I think enough people are waking up. Enough people believe in this country. And we get the right leadership in there in 2024, we have a chance. So, again, thank you for tuning in. Tune in next week. Be good to each other, and God bless America. Good night, everyone.
Hey.